Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together, Psalm 119, and let us consider now verse 9. Psalm 119, and at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So this is directed particularly at young men, and that includes women also. The term man used to be used to as equivalent to human beings, and we must bear that in mind generally in what is said in Scripture. And yet, if we were to say wherewithal, or to use a simpler form of expression, by what or in what way shall a young man, what I was going to say was, in what shall an old man or an old woman cleanse their way? The answer would be the same. By taking heed thereto according to God's word. But there's a particular emphasis here on the needs of young people. And I will try to maintain that emphasis in what I say. But my point just now is that basically, whatever I say, I may say particularly to young people, to children, the same thing applies to those who are older and those indeed who are getting on in years. And I have two main points to make just now. And the first is, who should take heed? Who should take heed? The answer to the question is by taking heed to their ways according to God's word. And the second point is the directions to be followed. And these we find in the words I've just quoted. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, according to God's word. So, two main points. Who needs to take heed? First thing. And the second thing, what are the directions to be followed? First then, who should take heed? Who needs to take heed? And the first answer would be, everyone needs to take heed to their ways. You see, as David confessed in Psalm 51, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And there's no one, young or old, male or female, there's no one who ought not to make that confession. Everyone needs to make that confession. Yes, I'm a sinner. That's what we've got to say. But that's the way I was made. Or at least that's the way I came into this world. You see, if God made it, I don't want to put anything in such a way that it suggests that God made us sinners. And I don't want to follow that through. What I want to emphasize is that we didn't come into this world innocent, lovely creatures. It might be in a loose way, an innocence about a little child. There's an attractiveness about little children. Oh, that's true, but that's not the point. The point is the root of sin that comes into every child, all of us, when we were born sinners. And why was that? It's because of our relationship to Adam. Adam sinned. But Adam sinned as the representative of all mankind. Adam sinned as the representative of all mankind. He didn't just sin in relation to himself. He sinned in relation to all that he was representing. I'm thinking of the covenant of works, though I don't want to elaborate on that just now. And you sometimes read of Adam spoken of as a public person. And what that means is that Adam was not only acting for himself, but acting for everyone. He was the head of the covenant of all mankind in the covenant of works, just as Jesus Christ is the head of all his people in the covenant of grace, and all who ever will be his people, and all, to put it another way, who were given to him from all eternity, given to him by the Father, God the Father, in the covenant of grace. But you see, this is the first point just now. The first point, first subsidiary point, perhaps we could say, under the first main point, you see, all have sinned. All sinned in Adam. And the consequences have come down through the generations. But you see, let us take another universal statement. It's Paul in Athens, speaking to all kinds of people there. Probably some were philosophers or thought they were wise thinkers. You could penetrate into the center of things and their thinking. But he says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God is now that Christ has come, now that the gospel is being spread to all the world. There was a beginning there. Paul was a great preacher in spreading the good news of salvation. And the solemn news about sin and the solemn implications of sin to communities beyond Israel, beyond the Jews, that the Jews had spread to all sorts of places, especially around the Mediterranean. But you see, this is a central point in what he tells the people on Mars Hill. There were all kinds of people standing up to announce their understanding of life. And here is something significant. Something significant for us all. It's significant for young people. God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he has ordained, and that's Jesus Christ. He's going to be the judge. Now he is announced as a savior. That's how he's announcing himself. Yes, but you see, there's a judgment. And we should be living our lives in the light of the judgment. Are we fit to go to judgment? And there's the danger of people saying, I'm young. I'm not going to die yet. Well, young people die. We ought to be ready. But there's another side to that. Oh, how good to live one's life from one's early years to the glory of God. You see, the idea goes around, I'm sure, in every generation. Satan is very much at the bottom of that. That you can easily be converted when you get old. And he is calling on people to serve him, to do what he wants while you are young. You see, he is the father of lies. If there's a lie going around, he is behind it. And he has no love for anyone in this world. No love. He wants to destroy. What a fearful description of any being. He wants to destroy people. He wants to bring them down to hell. And that's destruction. Utter destruction. Not that life is extinguished in hell. Existence continues, but, oh, what a place of destruction. Destruction of soul in particular. And so we've got to bear the judgment in mind. We've got to bear eternity in mind. Even if we're young. Even if there's all sorts of other ways, of other things to do. Even if there's pressures of various kinds on one's mind, on one's time, yes. And, of course, there are some who do not feel any pressures in their time, and still they would rather go on in sin. What am I getting at just now? I'm getting at this, the need to prepare for eternity, whether one is young or whether one is old. We need to prepare for eternity. We need to be concerned about death. Where will death send us? Well, to heaven or to hell? And are we taking steps to consider this, the blessedness of heaven as against the awfulness of hell? Are we? Are we seeking the Lord, in other words? As we may come to later on, whatever terms in particular I will express it, whether I will use that again or not in this service. The importance of seeking the Lord while he may be found. You see, we have no grasp of any moment. I mean, somebody wants to keep something. He takes it in his hand. He closes his hand tightly. It's there. And it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for other people to come and get that coin or whatever it is in the person's hand. Well, we have no grasp We cannot put out our hand, so to speak, and grasp a future moment and say, I will be alive then. So everybody, even young people, even children, are being told about the urgency and the necessity of seeking the Lord now, not at some future time. And it's not just that we might not be alive then. It's this, that we might be so hardened in our souls, so resistant to the truth, that we will not seek the Lord in a way that is possible for us just now. In a way that is possible for us just now. Yes. You see, how will we go through life? Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. When will we start doing that? Next week. Next year. Now. You see, we have no right. You can put it in terms of filling out a diary for the future. Next Wednesday you're to do such and such a thing. A week on Tuesday there's something else arranged. But there's this matter. When will we put it in our diary? To begin seeking the Lord. Next Wednesday or a week on Tuesday or so many years from now. When will we begin thinking of this, our responsibility to live to the glory of God, to do everything with God in mind? Well, it's now. The entry should be in, as far as that is concerned, every day. There might be something, perhaps it's a bit unlikely, but there might be something you would put down for long time. You put it down so you'll not forget that this is another day when there's something you've got to do. Well, we can't leave a space in our diaries before we start thinking of this, do all to the glory of God. That should be there for today. That should be there for tomorrow. Or let us think of where we are positioned. We have an existence. We were born into this world. God in his providence ordered that we would be brought safely into the world. He has kept us alive until now. We don't know how long we've got. But you see, he has authority over us. He is the creator. As I try to emphasize time and again, it's so fundamental a thought. It's so fundamental a thought, not least for young people. God made me. And whatever I may be taught, a young person should say, whatever I may be taught otherwise, about how I came into existence, I must keep hold of this and I must follow out the implications. God made me. Yes. God made me. That's it. That's the fundamental fact of our existence. It's something that should be at the center of our thinking, or if you put it another way, at the top of our thoughts. That's the most important thing. There's other things that come in with that, like that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but putting it with this way, in this way of thinking just now, how am I to live? I must live to the glory of God. How does that influence me? Well, I should be thinking of this, cleansing my way or keeping my way clean. We'll leave that for just now. But you see, this matter should be so central to the thinking of young people. And you see, I'm not just focusing on young people, though it is a particular focus just now. You see, what we should be concerned about, among many another thing, is this, that young people would allow time to pass without thinking about their souls and get harder. Now that's to be said to older people too. And perhaps what one would say is that they're not to go on putting things off about their soul, that they're not to go on hardening their hearts against the gospel. That's a danger. We need Christ now. We need the grace of God now. We need to seek salvation now. And not least if we're young. You see, the thought, I've got plenty time, is not one through which God is glorified. The thought, I've got plenty time to seek the Lord, is not glorifying to the one who has said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We should feel an urgency. We haven't got forever in this world. Our time in this world is limited. And you see, the counsel to parents is, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, why I'm particularly quoting that just now, it's good advice for parents to bear in mind the importance of the few years, the relatively few years that they will have their children with them, very often anyway. But you see, what it's saying is how important these early years are for how the rest of life will be carried on. How important these early years are for how we will be when we reach death and when we pass into eternity. How vital these early years. You see, we're being molded by our early years. And the influences of our early years and the ways of thinking that we develop in our early years, they are so important for later life. You see, if I can, without stretching the idea too much, put it this way, that when a piece of pottery is being made. You see, when it's being made, the potter has control over everything. He puts a shape to it. He molds it this way or that way. And then, when that work has been finished, years later, you come back to the pot and you say, I wish it had been made differently. But it's impossible to do anything about it now. Well, it's not impossible with an older person to remold the way they think. But it's very, very difficult. You see, we're to value our opportunities as children. We're to value our opportunities as young people. Oh, I'm beyond that. But you see, I'm speaking for us generally. Value your opportunities when you are guided to come to church. Value your opportunities when you go to the Sabbath school. Value your opportunities when you have family worship held regularly with you. You see, these are opportunities for your soul to be molded in the right way. Do not despise. Do not neglect. Ask the Lord to bless your opportunities to you. And think about them. Think about the chapter that was read at worship. Think about the psalm that was sung. Think about the message that was set before you in a sermon. Sometimes it may be difficult for some of you to follow the message. Well, still, there must be something in every sermon that you could carry away with you. Something that you can understand. And I hope that there are very few here today who cannot understand the main ideas that I'm trying to put across today. Think of it in this way. It's an opportunity that God has given you to learn. To learn his wisdom and his ways, that you might live thereby. With these significant milestones, if that's quite the right idea, but perhaps it's some illustration, important points on your way through this life, in your whole existence, in fact. Death. Judgment, eternity. And these other points on your way through life that should be so important to you. Say, the services week by week, how important they should be. Does the Sabbath stand out for you as a particular day? And I'm really meaning it's an important day. It's a day to be that provides opportunities week by week. Opportunities to be grasped. As if one would go leave your house and say, it's Sabbath today. I'm going to church. That's an opportunity. An opportunity to hear what God is saying. Now that's a great matter in all this. Going to church, it's an opportunity to hear God speak. It's an opportunity that I should be making the most of. That God would speak to me. That's what we should be asking for. That God would speak to me. Myself through the word, that God would bring me to consider my ways as a sinful creature who needs to be put right. Yes. And the man who wrote Psalm 71, he was saying, he was now old and grey-headed, but he could say this, to God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And what a blessing that is for those who have been taught, not just outwardly, not just hearing a parent say something, and perhaps remembering it. But you see, thou has taught me from my youth. God teaching effectively. That's what we need. That's what we should be wanting. That's what young people in particular should be wanting. And what parents should be praying for their children. May my child or my grandchildren, may they hear the word in an inward way, in a way that would affect their souls, in a way they wouldn't lose. Yes. You see, you have the ideas of the idea of opportunity again. An opportunity is to be grasped. An opportunity to get to. Whatever it might be that you would love to visit. You might get an opportunity to visit that place. I'm talking in terms of the illustration just now. But you see, it's getting to heaven. And we've got opportunities to get what we need so that we might in the end reach heaven. Opportunities. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to hear about Christ and salvation through him. Though I might be emphasizing other people, other things just now, spending more time on them anyway. There's nothing so important as Christ and salvation through him. But you see, there was the psalmist, and he had heard these things from his youth. He had been taught these things from his youth. And so he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness and of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. No, if you have in some way by God's grace made use of at least one opportunity to find Christ, he will not forsake you when you get old and grey-headed if you are spared that law. He will not forsake you when you come to the point of death. He will not forsake you as you are entering eternity. He will not forsake you, but he will bring you into heaven. You see, if you make use of an opportunity, and if you make use of one opportunity, I'm sure you will make use of many an opportunity. This is what is to be thought of. Yes. But perhaps we should go on and speak more particularly to this matter, except for one other verse that I want to refer to, even if I do not spend time on it. And it's in Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 11. Rejoice, O young man, or young woman, or boy, or girl. Rejoice in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Yes. He's saying, go on and do these things, but. Now you've got to watch out sometimes when somebody says something and then adds but. And this but sends you in a completely different direction. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You see, what Solomon is saying is, you may go on in these things, in these ways, the ways of a sinful heart, in the sight of thine eyes, the way a sinful person whose desires have not been transformed by the Spirit of God in the way a sinful person sees things. Yes, you may go on, but know that there are consequences. That's what he's saying. That's where the emphasis falls. If you go on in the ways of sin, there will be consequences. If you go on neglecting the gospel and Christ Jesus set before you in the gospel, there will be consequences, eternal consequences, for God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. They are vain if you do not seek Christ, if you do not seek salvation. That's the great matter, seeking Christ and finding him. If you seek him, you will find, or he will be found of thee, which comes to the same thing. But what I was wanting to add was, if Christ will seek you out and find you and draw you into his kingdom, oh, be asking for that. Be in earnest about that. Do not be careless about these things, no matter how young you may be. But the directions to be followed, and I've been speaking about directions, but more particularly in the light of our text, by taking heed thereto, by taking heed to the way that one is taking through life, by taking heed according to God's word, by taking heed according to God's word. That's it. That's the standard. And you see, the more we are familiar with God's word, and the more we are thinking about things in God's word, the better we will be prepared for taking the next step through life. Yes. So that we would not come to the verge of death. So that we would not come to our last days in this world and be saying, I don't know what to do for the salvation of my soul. I don't know how to get to heaven. That's sad. Pathetically sad as far as somebody is concerned who had so many opportunities. So sad. So many opportunities we have had. Have we made use of any of them? Have we gone home with something ringing in our minds to pray? Have we gone home to pray? Have we gone out of church praying, and praying on the way home, O Lord, hear me. O Lord, draw me by thy grace. O Lord, make me willing to forsake my sin. O Lord, open my eyes that I might see Christ Jesus as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Yes. And you see, what is in verse 11? Thy word have I hid in my heart. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall anyone cleanse their way? It's by giving heed to God's word. And so the psalmist here could say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, if the word is hidden in his heart, what a powerful influence it will have. What a powerful influence in keeping that person from sin. Yes. Of course, it's not by merely by memorizing creeds of scripture. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Far, far from it. The more we learn of the words of scripture, the better. All I'm saying is that there's another step. To have these words, to have these verses, to have these chapters made part and parcel of the whole of our thinking. You see, thy word have I hid in my heart, and by God's grace, the psalmist is saying in effect or implying, it's having an influence on me. It's having an influence on me. It has an influence on how I think. It has an influence on how I speak. It's an influence on what I do and what I don't do. You see, the word of God, the importance of having it, part and parcel of our thinking. And if we're reading the word of God prayerfully, listening to the word of God prayerfully, that should be coming about. It might be slowly, but then we're told in Isaiah about the word of God and its effects, when it's brought to us line up and line, just a little at a time it may be, and it might be good to read a few verses often and carry them with us, whatever else we're going to do, if it's possible to do it, and you think at the same time, think of God's word and ask him to bless it to us. But you see, that's the great force on proper thinking. The word of God, as applied by the Holy Spirit, of course. And that's what we should be asking for. Now the Savior said to his disciples, it's in John 15, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now there's things implied there. And we've got to bring them in when we're thinking. Now are ye clean. There's been a change of heart through the word of God. And that's going on, you see, in the disciples. As the Savior was teaching them, and particularly these great lessons in the truth that the Savior gave to his disciples after his resurrection. But it had been going on, and no doubt the Holy Spirit wasn't given in such a degree as he was later on, and in particular after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But you see, the cleansing power of the word of God applied by the Holy Spirit. And the great matter there is the sinner seeing Christ by faith. Christ held out, and the sinner grasps what is held out. The great person of Christ and the great work that he accomplished when he was in this world. You see, what perhaps we're particularly to take away from what I've been saying in the last few minutes is this. The need to receive the teachings of the Word of God and to have them applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. We're to be asking for that. Yes. The people of God, people experienced in the way of salvation, experienced in the things of the kingdom of God, they have a particular duty to pray, a duty to pray for others, not just themselves, though that will continue, but a duty to pray for young people in particular, that the Lord would take them while they are young. You may have a particular love for some particular relations. Well, let them show their love by praying for them earnestly and repeatedly for Jesus' sake, for the sake of Christ, you see, for the sake of what he did. That's how sinners will be converted. Yes. But you see, now are you clean. You have been cleansed to the disciples, and others will be cleansed if they take heed to the word that is spoken. Now you see, I'm quoting scripture from time to time. I like to quote scripture. I feel that's whatever else I say. I feel that is particularly what the Lord may be pleased to bless to somebody. And you should be asking that these verses that are quoted, as well as the portion of scripture, the chapter or whatever that is read, that these would be applied to your souls. That these would be applied in particular just now to young people. Yes. And young people should be asking it for themselves, as well as these older, experienced people who know something of what is taught in the Word of God, who know something more than what I may call novices. I'm not using it in any derogatory way, but those who are more recently brought into the kingdom. But you see, to be making use of the lessons that they have been taught by God's word and God's providence, and the two coming together, to be praying for young people, to be praying that they would be kept, and young people should be asking for that. Keep me from evil. Keep me from the influences that are swirling around me. The influences that Satan is so busy giving power to. Protect me from Satan. We can all pray that. We should all be praying in that way. But you see, if we go to the Word of God, we need a cleansing. And there's a fountain open. A fountain, not a wee trickle. Not a stream in a time of drought. There's just very little water coming down. But you see, a fountain. Think of it. The provision that God has made for sinners, for their salvation, for their cleansing, it's been described as a fountain. A fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain has been opened. It'll not dry up. I heard of a group of soldiers being marched to Germany after being taken prisoner. I think that's how it was. There was a stream or perhaps even a fountain at the side of the road, and the men went to slake their thirst. But by the time some of them got there, the fountain or stream had dried up, or a tap. There was no more left, and they would have to go on their weary march with a dry mouth. Well, that's never going to happen. And we come to the grace of God. And the willingness of Christ to receive sinners and to forgive them. Think of it. It's a fountain. And it's a fountain opened. Fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. For sin and for uncleanness. And if we differentiate between the two words, sin and uncleanness, it's this, sin as the guilt of sin. Fountain open to cleanse away the guilt of sin, to put away your liability to punishment. It's forgiveness that comes in that way. Forgiveness. Yes. And then there's uncleanness, and that speaks of the pollution of sin and the power of sin. It's a complete salvation. Yes, a complete salvation. Now that's a blessing. You might say, oh, but what about this? What about that? What about that great sin I committed years ago? It's a fountain that remains full. However much you drink out of that fullness, or however much you use to clean your soul, according to the picture of cleaning your body, it's not going to run out. You might be disturbed because there's still sin, and sin is powerful, but you see, it's being subdued. That's one thing about it. However much you might look at your sin and say, it's still powerful, yet you can be sure, if you have found Christ, you can be sure that the work of cleansing is going on. Yes. But you see, we need to pay attention to the call of the gospel. Christ is saying to you, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and the fountain will not run dry. It's there for you to come again and again to drink, to receive Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners, to work out a full salvation, a complete salvation, a suitable salvation. Then look to Christ, receive the fullness of spiritual blessings from him. Seek the Lord, however young you are. Go to him and say, I'm not understanding, but I've got this in my mind. I need to be saved. I need to find Christ. Go to the Lord and tell him all your difficulties of every kind. He is able to save you. He is able to save you completely. Or to use the word we have in the Bible, he is able to save to the uttermost. Come then to Christ. And come now. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, Lord, to each of us under thine own loving care, and bless us with all spiritual blessings. Remember us, Lord, in infinite mercy. Remember the young ones. Remember the children. Remember those who are too young to understand today. But, Lord, bless them all and bring them to thyself. Work in their souls. Thou art able to work in their souls even when they cannot understand. Such is thy power. Ah, Lord, take us all into thy kingdom. May we all be in earnest about our souls. Take all connected with us into thy kingdom. Take multitudes throughout the world into thy kingdom, and send out those who would preach the gospel. Pardon us and keep us. Remember all in need, those who are unwell, those who have experienced sadness, and grant to enable us to be coming to thee, particularly with our souls, and that with a concern for our souls, and make us willing to have Christ. May we not be rejecting. Pardon us and bless us. Make us thankful for our opportunities, and may we make good use of them. Wash away our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.